This is where they are building the largest nuclear fusion reactor in the world.
Yeah, a friend of mine told me I had to check out this pool.
America on Main Street and at the dinner table is talking about infrastructure when 20 years ago, they didn't even know what that meant.
Today, those towers are an astounding display of wealth, prestige, and engineering firsts.
It's impacting everyday Americans.
I am against the train. The way it's being done right now.
New York City housing is a scam. It is a scam.
The Shard in central London is being officially opened today, and at 310 metres tall, it's Europe's newest and tallest skyscraper.
Hello, I'm Fred Mills.
And this is the world's best construction podcast
by the B1M. Hello and welcome to your latest episode of the World's Best Construction Podcast. Today's episode is sponsored by James Hardy. I'm your host, Fred, and as always, I'm joined by Liam down in Sydney, Australia, and Luke Bly over in Essex. How you doing, guys? How's your week going?
Yeah, good, mate. Nothing too crazy going on. I'm going to Miami soon, aren't I, and Orlando soon.
Orlando.
Yeah, looking forward to it, mate. So I'll report back on how much Miami sank, you know, in the last since I was there last in 2022. So that'll be good. What about you, mate? You all right? You keeping safe? You keeping well?
Yep, lots happening. There's always lots happening. I say it all the time, but there just is a lot going on. There's a lot going on. Yeah. How are you, Liam?
Fantastic, mate. I'm great.
excellent guys, we've got a
that's it.
I'll just leave it there. Guys, we've got an excellent episode coming out for you today. We are talking about One Times Square, a very interesting building over in Times Square, New York. I love a bit of New York. I'm very happy we're doing this on the podcast. Also, London's new 54-story new skyscraper, Saudi Arabia's glass-bottomed hotel, yes, I kid you not. And the whole thing, as ever, is going to be sprinkled with some of your messages and comments from the past week. Let's go. First of this week, we are talking about the One Times Square building, funnily enough, in Times Square, New York. Now, in case you didn't know, in case you've been living under a rock, Times Square is very much the beating heart of New York. Over 360,000 visitors come here every day. But what you might not have noticed is that at the centre of it all stands a somewhat nondescript structure. Now, it's something we've all seen. It's covered in billboards. It's this very sort of high-rise building that's got all sorts of, you know, digital displays happening all over it. Well, deep inside that, underneath the famous ball drop and behind all those billboards and bright lights, there's actually an empty building. And besides the annual midnight celebration, the ball drop, One Times Square remains pretty quiet and has sat mostly empty for decades. Yet, it is one of the most valuable pieces of land and ad spaces in the entire world. This is one of those buildings that's just, it's incredible, right? It's sitting right in the middle of Times Square, but you just haven't thought about it or noticed it, and it's just been sitting there doing nothing for all this time. It's now getting a $500 million makeover and is set to become a tourist destination in its own right. But, as you might have guessed, building in Times Square is not easy. This might be the toughest construction site in America. Surrounding traffic is insane. There are pedestrians everywhere. You've got no space for a construction site or moving things around. You have got millions of dollars in advertising campaigns for some of the world's biggest brands at stake. It is also one of the most photographed spots on the entire planet. So, in this video, we dive into what's going on with this project, how they are pulling it off, how they're pulling off building in this most extraordinary of locations, and what it's going to be, and basically keeping the show on the road for Times Square while doing a construction project like this, which is just, yeah, it again speaks to the extraordinary stuff that people in this industry are doing every day to get projects built while not disturbing the world around them or disturbing it to a minimal extent. So I have to say, Times Square is not my favourite part of New York at all. I find it, it's good to see, but I find it pretty overwhelming.
Yeah, same. It's all right. It's all right. But are they advertising still while there's this construction going on? They've pushed,
yeah.
Like they've got a temporary advertising board or something,
yeah.
Right?
This is the amazing thing. Like there is so much money associated with those advertising billboards that for them to say, you know, oh, sorry, we're going to take them down for a few years while I build a new building was just like, no way. No, you're not. There's too much revenue there. So they built this temporary steel structure around the building for the billboards to go on. So they could then do the work to the building behind the scenes. It was incredible, incredible story. And again, this is one of those buildings that, you know, I've seen it, but never really thought about it being a building because it's just this sort of structure now that's completely covered in lights and billboards. And it's, yeah, it's very, very cool. One of the most valuable buildings in New York, but one of the emptiest buildings in New York. One of the most photographed buildings in New York, but a building no one's ever actually really seen. So, yeah, I love this story. It's fascinating.
Is there any reason why it's been empty for so long? Like, why? I don't understand why they wouldn't have offices and things like that set up in there.
Well, yeah, it's a good question. And there's a few reasons. Mostly it's because, I mean, the floor plate's a bit awkward because you're in that kind of triangular wedge on the edge of Times Square. But also, there's no natural light at all. You've got all those billboards covering up the windows. So it's not the most attractive place for an office. But there are other things you could do that don't require windows, like, you know, cinemas, certain clinics, you know, I don't know, storage.
Clinics?
Clinics? Well, they have sleep clinics, don't they, and stuff where...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, you don't have to have windows and stuff. We don't want windows. Like, you want a bit of privacy.
Tenpin bowling, mate. Tenpin bowling, mini golf, putt-putt.
Yeah.
There you go. Nightclub. Bars.
Yeah.
That's a good idea.
I know you're going to go into the details, but I want to know now anyway. Are they building like an atrium within the building to force natural light into the new refurb?
That would be a good idea. See, look at this. I feel like I've taught you architecture, Liam. This is great. Wow.
Wouldn't go that far, mate.
That would be a good idea. An atrium would bring natural light into the building. Unfortunately, I don't think the floor plan's really big enough for that. And this being New York, floor space is kind of everything. So they are putting in a 12-floor immersive exhibit and a 6-floor museum. Basically, they're making a new tourist attraction of the building itself, which actually I think is going to be a pretty good draw because there isn't that much to do at Times Square. There's obviously you can go and get ripped off in the Disney store and other shops like that, but it's mostly a place where you go to take a picture. And what they're putting is this huge new walk-around viewing platform, not on top of the building, but sort of kind of midway up. So you get these, you know, reasonable views of Times Square, which I think will be massively popular. I reckon they'll charge a fortune for that. And give people a good old platform to take a picture from in Times Square. So yeah, it's kind of the building is kind of a museum about the building itself. And then this immersive exhibit is going to be kind of like this walkthrough VR experience. But then obviously this being New York and America, they are charging advertisers to be a part of that experience. So it's kind of like walking through the billboards, not just looking at them from the outside. I don't know what that's going to look or feel like, but yeah, whole thing is expected to open in 2025, so not far away.
Right, so it'll be like the Dr. Pepper experience or something. Yep. It'll be walking in a... Okay.
Verizon Wireless presents.
Is it... Right. Is it... Did you say VR as well? They're going to incorporate VR?
Yeah, again, we've got some footage of this in the video where we show these immersive experiences and exhibits. Immersive seems to include a bit of AR, bit of VR, bit of wraparound video and stuff. I think it'll be cool. I have to say there's it's a VR experience in the lift you got up in One World Trade Center. And they've done that very, very well.
That's oh, really?
Cool. Yeah. So I'm sure it'll be good. It's mostly a moneymaker.
but does it beat the lift at the Rockefeller Center? Have you been to the Rockefeller Center, top of the rock?
I haven't been to the top. I've been everywhere in New York, not top of the rock.
That's the best one, Fred. That's the best one.
I've heard that.
Yeah, it's very good, mate. The thing is that the VR stuff is that it's such a fad, isn't it? It's so 2024. Like, will people care? When we've all got one, when we've got one in like in 2 years, we'll all have VR headsets. Like, I'm not going to go to New York and be like, oh, I can't wait to do the Pepsi Max VR experience at One Times Square. Like, or maybe people will say that there's an M&M's world in London that's like Leicester Square. Forget it. I take it back. Go on.
Do you reckon when it opens in 2025, people are going to be like, oh, this is so 2024?
Yeah. Defo.
Yeah. Now, we're going to rewind a bit here to give you a bit of history around this, because it is pretty interesting how this building came to be and then how it came to be kind of left. And that, I think, makes you appreciate its new life more as well. So the New York Times originally built this triangular-shaped new headquarters on this site in what was then Longacre Square. So I'm winding back here to the start of the 20th century. The Times Tower, as it was then called, was completed in 1905, and the newspaper moved in. And it's at that point, 1904, 1905, that the area was officially renamed from Longacre Square to Times Square after the New York Times newspaper. Now, that 26-story structure at the time was the second tallest structure in the city. Incredibly, right? 26 stories was enough to get you the second tallest building in the city. Neo-Gothic style. It had a steel skeleton clad in ornate terracotta facade works. It was beautiful, beautiful type building. Three distinct sections. There was a setback at the top. This was a really, really nice piece of architecture. I'm not just saying it because I want video views. I would recommend you pop over to the YouTube video and go and have a look at this building, because it is a nice one. Quickly became an icon of the city. But the Times didn't keep its headquarters there for long because of the odd floor plan. It was getting a bit cramped as the company was growing and expanding. Just 8 years later, they moved somewhere else but retained ownership on the lease. So, yeah, pretty impressive that the New York Times built their own building, 26 stories tall, and then moved out of it 8 years later because they were growing so much. Nice problem to have, eh?
Yeah, it's a good story. Good story. And they've moved, haven't they? The New York Times have their own skyscraper now, don't they?
They do. I like that building. It is down by the Port Authority building. I think there might have been a few other places since then between these two buildings we're talking about. But yeah. Nice building, nice skyscraper. Times Square got its name from the New York Times opening an office there in 1905. Now, over the decades, the Times Tower has undergone several changes and tenants. And today, as we've been talking about, what was a very beautiful exterior has now been entirely covered up, adapted, taken apart, changed, and fully replaced with billboards and ad spaces. It, as I said, one of the most photographed places in the world, but very few people have ever actually seen this building because it's so covered up. There is a Walgreens on the bottom floor. If you're listening outside the US of A, that's a supermarket, guys. There's a nice Walgreens on the bottom floor. Majority of the building, though, has sat empty since the 1970s, as I was saying to Liam, partly due to that odd floor plan, but also because of all the signage over the windows. And basically, ad space here is more lucrative than paying tenants. You get more for putting a billboard on the side of your building than you would ever get from renting it out as an office. What they're now trying to do is both billboards on the outside and a tourist attraction to bring in that dollar.
I think a tourist attraction makes a lot of sense, mate. A lot of sense. Like, this is, you know, tourist destination 101, isn't it? Why not, you know, jump in, make that shmoney? You know, it's a no-brainer, isn't it? No-brainer. Maybe they'll do, again, I'm just comparing, like, London tourist traps, but like Shrek's Big Adventure or something. Have you seen they've got Shrek's Big Adventure, like the old London City Hall on the South Bank?
God, it kind of passed me by.
You're like, what is that? What's Shrek's Big Adventure? So, yeah, possibilities are endless, mate.
They are. Could be anything, guys. Could be
laser tag. Laser tag. Why not?
Oh, yeah.
I'd be well up for that.
There's all sorts of things you can do with this. Now, as we said, the billboards were put on a steel structure outside the building so they could do the work inside. But as I alluded to at the start, this project is like there are fewer. I can't imagine a tougher construction site. It's a nightmare to get to. There's traffic everywhere. There's people everywhere. You've got these very high value ad campaigns you've got to deliver for some of the world's biggest brands hanging off the side of your site. And you've got the eyes of the world looking at you. There are people taking photos here round the clock, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. It is a hard place to build. Some really interesting stuff in this. So we talked to the guy who actually runs the developing company behind this project. And he was saying how they bring in materials overnight and early morning, I have to say, in Times Square. Even those times can be pretty busy, but it's easier to get through the New York road network overnight and early morning. They had to keep the ball drop going. So the ball drop that happens on top of this building on New Year's Eve had to keep going during the works. So you've got a 26-story building that you are renovating with no space in the middle of New York. And then once a year, you've got a blimmin' fireworks and, you know, ball drop display happening above your construction site with the eyes of the world looking at it. It's just extraordinary challenges these guys face.
Well, it's a testament to the team doing this project, because from a distance, and I will emphasize from a distance, you can't really tell this is all going on.
No.
Can you really?
No.
Yeah.
And I was there. I go to New York quite a lot these days, it feels like, but I was there last October. And again, I didn't notice this. I knew there was some construction work going on, but you know, there's always construction work going on somewhere in New York. But I hadn't realized it was this project, because they just kept it going. You know, the billboards are still there. The advertising brands are still there. And you wouldn't know it was happening behind the scenes, which again, like you say, Luke, I completely agree. Testament to the amazing things that people in this industry do every day to keep our world moving while also moving it forward. You know, it's incredible. Not that a tourist museum and viewing platform is moving the world forward. Probably not the best example here, but you know what I mean.
I don't know. Shrek's Big Adventure might change someone's life, mate. Times Square. People are going to love it.
Yeah. Yeah. There's a bit of a fad of viewing platforms at the minute. There's a lot of viewing platforms in New York. It's like every building does it as a bit of a revenue driver. You've got it in, obviously, there's the Empire State. There is Top of the Rock, the kind of iconic ones. But now you've got Vanderbilt, you've got the Edge, One World Trade Center has one. They're all opening up.
What's the one with the glass in the, like, you can see down to the floor level?
That is the Edge.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
So the one you went on, Fred?
Yeah. When I was there, this couple lays a young baby on the glass and took a picture of it. I was like, is this a bit Yeah. So again, this is quite nice because it is quite different. And I have to say, when you go to Times Square, it's a very photographable place, as we've talked about. So having a dedicated viewing platform, I reckon they'll get quite a lot of money for this, because it'll be a popular picture for a lot of people. Yeah. Amazing project, guys. Go and check it out on the B1M YouTube channel. Link is down there in the podcast description. Let us know what you think about this. Have you noticed it? Are you going to go there? Does it appeal to you? How much do you think the entrance price will be? $40? $60? Something like that. Get your comments coming in, podcast@theb1m.com. So today's episode is sponsored by James Hardy. External cladding has emerged as a powerful tool for builders, architects and homeowners to transform the appearance and performance of structures. Not only does it offer durability, weather resistance and aesthetic flexibility, more importantly, it ensures that new buildings conform to stringent fire safety requirements. For people seeking longevity and aesthetic appeal, fiber cement cladding is a popular and versatile building material. Now, from the world's number one producer and marketer of fiber cement cladding, the Hardy Architectural Panel by James Hardy makes bringing beautiful designs to life both safe and affordable. With two stunning textures to choose from and the choice of any colour, you can make every project unique. All James Hardy facade products come with an A2 fire rating and are backed by an industry-leading 15-year warranty. Guys, you can find out more at the link down there in the podcast description. And a big thanks to James Hardy for sponsoring today's episode. Also in the news this week, we are heading over to London, UK, where a new skyscraper has been tabled. This has not been submitted to planning approval yet, but it's been put on the table. 54-storey tower rising from 99 Bishopsgate. Now, they referred to this as Landmark. The problem is, in the first render, I can't tell you which skyscraper it is that's new, which doesn't really scream Landmark.
I thought the exact same thing when I looked at this earlier today. I had to skip forward and it's that one. I'll go back to the first image. Just, they look all so similar, don't they?
I adore the, I think it's been approved now, the 55 Bishop's Gate, which, yep. Again, everyone, you can click the link in the description to open up the Instagram, you know, link and look at this while we're talking it. But on the right, and that first image on the right, you've got 55 Bishop's Gate, which I think is a really nice, demure, classic London skyscraper, right? A really nice addition to the skyline. And then this proposal, they've just like slapped, you know, a girthy boy next to him. And it's just, I
actually think, right,
I don't know, mate.
I actually think this isn't a bad building. I think this is designed by Roger Sturck Harbour and Partners. And you can see it's very much it's got the Richard Rogers DNA in there, definitely.
Yeah.
It's a nice looking building, but to say it's a landmark building, like, no, this is just going to blend into the city of London. Like, it's nice, it's good, it's a welcome addition, but nah. Also, I just want to say, there's people saying in the comments, there's like loads of skyscrapers missing from that render, stuff that's, you know, should be on there. What they've done is put ones on there that have got formal planning approval, which I think is the right thing to do. So that one undershaft hasn't got formal approval yet, so that's not on there. That's the massive one we talked about a few weeks ago. It's going to be the tallest building in the city of London, I think.
The absolute state of that one undershaft. My days. I still can't believe that.
Undershafted.
Yeah.
And then 55 Bishop's Gate, which has been approved, is on there. You'll also see, looking at that first render, the horrific walkie-talkie on there as well, staining London skyline.
Stop it.
That's been approved and built, sadly.
Stop it.
You're just doing great. It for attention.
It just fits the skyline. That and the Shard just look, it's just London.
Yeah.
Yeah. The Shard's great. You can't beat the Shard.
It is nice.
Shard's beautiful. But yeah, I love the walkie-talkie, Fred. What are you talking about?
I'm not gonna we've long done this on the podcast. I'm not gonna open that Pandora's box again. Anyway, this 54-story tower, they're gonna submit it for planning approval in mid-2024. Site is right in the heart of the City of London. I have to say, when you look at the renders, it is looking pretty congested now, the City of London. I'm not sure what's going on with, you know, natural light or what it's going to be like to work on the lower floors of these offices in times. But yeah, one to think about. They're going to demolish the current tower on the site and replace it with this new building, which includes a more pedestrian-friendly public space at street level. I have to say, that more pedestrian-friendly street level area does look really good. But 99 Bishop's Gate, I went there for meetings. It's where the contracting firm are based for 22 Bishop's Gate and three other skyscrapers and developments around there. 99 Bishop's Gate's a nice building. It's got a swanky marble lobby. There's very nice offices upstairs. There's nothing wrong with it. They're saying in the press release that it's no longer fit for purpose and has a few shortcomings. What they mean is there's not enough floor space on it, and we're going to knock it down to build something bigger and get more money.
Ah, right. Okay.
Yeah, this is capitalism unleashed.
I mean, it is quite small what's there at the moment, to be fair. Is it an original? Is that a mid-century tower that's been reclad like they did with the Stock Exchange Tower? It's not? It's not even that old?
I don't think so. It's not that old. I think it's 90s.
My days. But
actually, I've been there, and I've walked, you walk past it regularly if you go down that part of London, and it's a nice-looking building.
Yeah. I see all of these all the time because I come into that part of London, don't I?
Yeah.
When I arrive into Central, I go to the City of London. So, yeah, I love new developments in London. I think it's cheeky calling this a landmark because it's not. But, I like the Richard Rogersness of it, but I don't know. It's too close to 55, mate. It's a bit cramped. Mm.
Mixed bag on this. So we got Zach saying City of London is becoming way too dense. You've got another chap saying the skyline of the city is becoming a giant mess. Oof. There was obviously that New York Times piece a few weeks ago, which kind of will jump on that, I'm sure. Lots of other people saying they love it, looks great. Lots of positive emojis. City's on fire. Matthew Shirker, who's commenting on lots of our videos, we love a bit of Matthew Shirker, saying, great addition to the neighbourhood. Seems like London loves exoskeletons and skyscrapers. It looks like the elevator banks on the outside of the building. Is also a big fan of Brookfield Properties. Now, RSHP, Rogers, Sterk, Harbour and Partners, was partly co-founded by the late Richard Rogers. Same practice designed the Leadenhall building, which again is a famous Richard Rogers structure that has elevators on the outside. And Richard Rogers is all about exposing the structure, revealing the structure of the building. And that's why this, for me, is classic Rogers.
Yeah, I think the Cheese Grate is one of the best skyscrapers in London, maybe even in Europe. The lifts at the back, the elevators at the back, mate, you've seen them going up and down. It's like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. What's not to like?
It's on The Apprentice, mate. It's where everyone auditions for The Apprentice.
I don't watch The Apprentice. Is that true? Is that where they pretend?
I haven't watched it in about 10 years.
Oh, right.
Yeah. It's where Alan Sugar calls you up at 5 in the morning and says, I want you to go and sell some socks. You're going to start your own events company.
Brilliant. Brilliant.
I like this, but yeah, I think the press release might be... the word landmark is doing some heavy lifting in that press release.
But yeah, I love how you put it in quotation marks.
Yeah. Well, that's a direct lift for the press release. So, yeah, I'm not sure. Lots of people liking the quotation marks, I have to say. Sorry if I've caused offense. But yeah, let us know what you think about that one, guys. Get your comments coming in over at podcast@theb1m.com. Now, heading from one slightly forgettable project to a definitely unforgettable project, we are heading over to Saudi Arabia. Good old friends in Saudi Arabia that haven't been covered on the podcast for a little while. They've unveiled a partially glass-bottomed hotel sat within a 450-meter-long bridge over a lagoon. Now, this forms part of the Neom development. It's called Triam. It's going to span the lagoon close to the Gulf of Aqaba. Sitting 36 meters above the water, the hotel is going to offer guests views down into the water from the hotel rooms. So you've got glass-bottomed hotel rooms, partially glass-bottomed hotel rooms, looking down into this sort of coral-filled lagoon. And then across the top, you've got this expansive, I say expansive, 450-meter-long infinity pool across the roof terrace. In a statement, Neom said it was an audacious design with minimal land intervention. I have to say, starts for 10, this, I think it looks incredible. There's a Star Wars vibe. It looks like it's built on another planet. It looks very, very cool. This isn't the most outrageous thing they've put forward. This is actually on the more buildable side of stuff that Saudi have put forward.
Right.
This looks like something out of The Martian with Matt Damon.
Yeah. Matt Damon.
I would definitely visit that.
Yeah, we know you would, mate. Swimming shorts on, off you go. I knew Liam would be in.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is this an actual proposal or is this like concept art for a sci-fi film? I don't know. Saudi Arabia are blurring the lines, you know. It is without a doubt phenomenal. If they pull something like this off, it is phenomenal. It looks outrageous. It's another thing being built in Saudi with an absurd design, absurd ambition, though, isn't it?
I see
another one.
Yes, it's another thing being built in Saudi, and definitely lately it can feel pretty exhausting because they're announcing so much stuff and trying to pull so much investment, and really trying to change the narrative from their, quite frankly, appalling human rights records. And some of the stuff that's been going on around, you know, sustainability approaches and all this sort of stuff. So it can feel like there's a lot coming at you. But I think taking each project calmly and more pragmatically, I think this one is one of the more buildable. Yes, it looks sci-fi, it looks space age, it looks very cool because of its setting. But, you know, actually building a cantilevered building like that with those columns they've shown sort of a third of the way along supporting it. It is doable. Dubai have done something like this, albeit this would be bigger, but it's a doable thing.
There's no road that goes to it in the render. How are the trucks going to get there for piling and stuff?
I imagine there'll be a construction road going in, but it's a good point, Luke. Like, the long-term infrastructure seems to have been, access infrastructure seems to have been somewhat left off this render.
You'd probably be fair to say, Fred, just while you're saying that most guests would be flying in via helicopter.
Oh, maybe.
It's just so stupid. It's just so stupid.
Now, what you can't see here is an underground sustainable mass transit system. There's a metro. Yeah.
Maybe come by boat. There's a little marina thing there.
There you go.
Little port there.
True.
Dock up. The full press release talks about this being a lagoon for water sports. There's a video showing people having a great time playing water sports next to this thing. There's going to be coral in there. There's going to be amazing fish you can look down and see from the hotel. Obviously, there's, as with anything Saudi, there's a massive dose of ambition coming with this. But I think it's doable. And then you can quote me on that. I know people are going to react to this going, what is Fred Mills on? He thinks he's an idiot. But I think this is probably chief among them, Liam Marsh. But I think this is... It's dramatic, it's impressive, but it is more buildable than the line.
I'd love to know all these, the cost of all these projects put together. Like how much is it all costing? Has anyone done that?
There aren't any costs they release with them, but clearly we are into the trillions. Clearly, with the amount of, just the line alone is a lot of money. But I think what they're doing here is it's partly state funded, but the idea is that you drive so much economic growth from this stuff and so much external investment from this stuff that covers some of the cost.
The thing is, mate, it feels a bit boy who cries wolf, you know? Like with their Saudi Pro League, with the football. You guys know I love a bit of football. A lot of the footballers who went there on the massive contracts, they're going, oh, do you know what? I don't think this is it. I think I'm going to go. Jordan Henderson went to Etifak in Saudi, the team, and he's gone, oh, do you know what? I'm going to long this off. I'm going to go back to Europe, play for Ajax in Amsterdam because of the heat, because of there were, like, in some stadiums, less than 300 people were turning up to watch the game.
Yeah.
Canvey Island Football Club gets more supporters at their ground than that, and they're not even in league football. So I think the point is, yeah, okay, fair enough. It's great to have these ambitions, and some of them are seriously impressive, right? But they got to plan it better. It's got to be more organic. They're just throwing all of this stuff at the wall. They've done it. Like, where's the airport? Where's this? I don't think it's thought out properly, mate.
Yeah, I agree. And I'll just say there is a Red Sea International Airport being built. I think it was a bit like Dubai. You know, Dubai had this, again, it was this place in the desert, extraordinarily hot, very inaccessible for many people. It was an aviation hub. And you know, the Middle East, generally speaking, is pretty well located to be an aviation hub because it's sort of halfway around the world for most people. That's what made Dubai successful. When they then threw in all these crazy mega projects like the Palm and the Burj Al Arab and the Burj Khalifa and all this, you know, the world islands and the world's deepest pool and the world's biggest this, that, and the other, it did feel a bit gimmicky. But what Dubai has done successfully is driven investment and grown its economy and city around tourism now.
Yeah.
Saudi Arabia is going the same way. I think it can feel at the minute like it is a bit, and obviously they've taken what Dubai's done and turned the volume up to 100 and, you know, they've gone bigger and bolder. But I do think in time you will see bigger investment growing around it. Now, I'm not a defender of Saudi Arabia. I've talked a lot about their appalling human rights record and some of the stuff they've done in the past. But to cut, you know, covering the scale of this construction project at, you know, NEOM as a whole, and what they're doing with it as a way to diversify their economy away from oil and improve their PR narrative, which before a lot of this stuff was atrocious and is still atrocious, is one of the biggest, most interesting construction stories of our time. You know, it doesn't have some. It's not this project is right, or that I agree with it, or that we're promoting it. It's just it's one of the biggest, most fascinating stories happening in the world right now, especially in terms of construction.
Yeah, I hear you, mate. I hear you. I think that's a good point. It's let's wait and see, mate. This because all this stuff looks like Disney World.
Yep. Either way, guys, if they build it, we'll make a great YouTube video. And if they don't build it, we'll make a great YouTube video. So I can't lose. Like, it's going to be good. A few comments on this one, as you can imagine. I mean, a few comments is putting it mildly. A lot of comments on this one. Sam saying, Saudi, stop. These just continue to be so silly. I love them as cool sci-fi locations, but I feel like reality would like a word. Someone else saying MBS is clearly a science fiction fan, at least in that aspect, I respect him. MBS, of course, being the Crown Prince of Saudi Arabia, Mohammed bin Salman. A few other people saying this project is a huge mistake for the amount of resources involved. Tons and tons of concrete in the desert, cathedrals in the middle of nothing, narcissistic buildings for super rich people made by a country that's trying really hard to increase their relevance. Oof.
Ooh.
Hold back on that one, does he?
Ooh.
Other people say it looks great. I definitely want to visit there. Nice building, nice structure. I love that pool. Yeah, so there's a few things going on.
Highlight for me is from Caius, who said, I built this in Minecraft 5 years ago. So we've got a nice balanced
sewer.
Hey.
That happens in music all the time, isn't it? Like, I wrote this, I wrote Taylor Swift's chord on my, you know, my keyboard 30 years back.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Anyway, guys, let us know what you think about the new skyscraper proposed in London and the new 450-meter long glass-bottomed bridge hotel in Saudi Arabia. Get your comments coming in, podcast@theb1m.com. Swinging over to the email inbox. What have you got for us this week, Luke?
Right, we got an email titled Hudson Yards Phase 2. This is from Michael Kumar. So he says, hey all, I think the renders for Phase 2 of the Hudson Yards project look great too. My only concern is that it seems like they're all predicted on when getting the casino license. Do we know what happens if they aren't approved for it? Would other developers be able to submit their own different proposals for the site? Love all the work you do on YouTube and on the podcast, Mike. It's lovely, isn't it?
Oh, what are you saying, Mike? Fred?
Yeah,
it's almost like, yeah, I've got to be careful what I say here. Yes, Wynn is a very big, powerful casino company, and I'm pretty sure they'll have no problem getting a casino license in New York, given them putting that level of investment in to the city. Is that neutral enough?
More or less.
Yeah. I'm sure it'll be fine. And I have to say, these are proposals that they're putting forward at the moment as part of the approval process. So it's not a done deal. But you know, when you have a big partner like Wynn come to the table as one of your major anchor tenants, you know, actually to build that phase two and get it off the ground, I'm almost certain that conversations will have been had already, and they'll have looked at the principles of the application, and I'm sure it'll be going through.
Yeah, I think you're right, mate. If not, like we said, maybe they can do a massive Shrek's Big Adventure just in Hudson Yards, you know?
There is a lot happening over on that west side of Manhattan at the minute. You've obviously got the Hudson Yards development as it is massive. There are other buildings completing around that at the moment as well. Phase two of Hudson Yards is going to be epic. You've got the Affirmation Tower we talked about last week, which is just up the road a little bit from Hudson Yards. A lot rising over on that west side right now. Really, really transformed the skyline a lot.
Yeah, it's crazy, mate. It's quite all over a train station. Should be doing the same at Waterloo, shouldn't they?
Yeah, there you go. Hey. Hudson Yards. What would you call it? Waterloo Yards.
Yeah, why not?
There you go. Little Bet 365 casino. Bit of Paddy Power.
Bet 365.
Betfred. Betfred. Love it. I'm not associated with Betfred in any way.
You sure?
Definitely. Anyway, guys, thanks for listening this week. We've really enjoyed putting this episode together. It's been some good projects we've talked about here. Good old building in Times Square. That massive skyscraper in London, a bridge hotel in Saudi Arabia. What's not to like? What's not to like? Guys, get your comments coming in over at podcast@theb1m.com. Don't forget that we are raising awareness of construction's mental health crisis. You can donate over at getconstructiontalking.org. You can also find links to support there and download our free toolkit to get started today. Massive thanks as well to James Hardy for sponsoring today's episode. Don't forget, you can find out more about James Hardy and the Hardy Architectural Panel at the link down there in the podcast description. Please, 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 please leave us a review. Leave us a 5-star review. Write something. Send us something. We want to get our Spotify reviews over 400. Come on. Let's make it happen.
Yeah, come on. Make it happen. Come on. And we're on holiday next week, aren't we?
We are. guys, for the first time in, what is it, 92 episodes, we are not going to have a podcast next week. We're having a breather. Liam needs to rest, needs to put his feet up a bit. Luke needs a shoulder massage. You know, we need to just chill out.
Shocked, I do as well.
There you go. See, I knew it, but I could see from the way you're holding your shoulders. I'm going to hit the gym, but we're going to be back stronger than ever the week after with more great content. So please don't go anywhere. Keep tuning in. We love you. Please don't leave us. So that was one of my text messages to former girls at school. Guys, get your comments coming in. podcast@bibbonm.com, and we will see you next week.
Oh, can you hear that?
Yeah,
can you hear the drilling? That's next door. That's not even downstairs. That's next door. It's ridiculous, isn't it?
Whoa.
Hang on. Oh, he's going to go do it again.
It's only just started, that, so maybe he'll stop again in a minute.
It's been on and off. I've been muting a lot, lately. Yeah. Right. Okay.
Trying to call a hit podcast here.
No, I know.